are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, January 16th, and a couple of new two-way guys to talk about today, and also a lot of Orlando Magic talk. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. There are the sirens. You know I'm broadcasting live from downtown Detroit here. So today we're going to be talking about Isaiah Whitehead and Kalen Lucas, the newest two-way members of the Detroit Pistons and Grand Rapids Drive. We're also going to talk to Philip Rossman Reich, the host of the Locked On Magic podcast, about a team with a lot of parallels to the Pistons in Orlando and a team that Pistons fans need to really start paying attention to as well. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. We appreciate that. Give us a rating and review on iTunes while you're at it as well. But tonight the Pistons have the first of a three-game homestand against the Orlando Magic that will continue on Friday against the Miami Heat and Saturday against the Sacramento Kings, and a little back-to-back action this weekend at home. And then the Pistons will play Monday afternoon for a Martin Luther King Day matinee game against the Washington Wizards in our nation's capital. So four very winnable games coming up. And, of course, knowing this team, they could lose all of them, but certainly a very positive and good chance for the team to turn its wayward season around here in the middle of January. But we're going to have lots about the Magic and the matchup in particular with Philip Rossman Reich a little bit later, but I wanted to pass along what we didn't say in the interview, and that the Pistons are 3.5-point favorites, so more than a field goal at home for tonight's game against Little Caesars Arena against the Magic. And maybe this morning there might be some more clarity about Mo Bamba's status after Magic shoot-around, which I will be at, covering the game for the Orlando Sentinel and also shoot-around, so we'll have links up on social media and all that stuff, so check it out, as I will be passing that news along sometime today on Wednesday. But the Pistons made some news on Tuesday for the second straight season on January 15th. The Pistons have a pair of new two-way players. This is the last day for players to sign two-way contracts, and the Pistons took advantage of that for the second straight year. Last year, they signed Kay Felder and Reggie Hearn to two-way deals, replacing Luis Montero, and also the vacated spot that was created by the Pistons signing Dwight Bikes to a real big boy deal. But this year, the Pistons signed former Seton Hall standout Isaiah Whitehead and former Michigan State star Kalen Lucas of Orchard Lake St. Mary's with those spots. We're going to start with Whitehead today. I saw him play in college at Seton Hall, covered him for the Paradise Jam in the U.S. Virgin Islands, and you didn't. That's just me bragging. Whitehead came in with all sorts of accolades as kind of a big-time five-star recruit for Seton Hall out of New York City, but was very athletic, but just wasn't super impressed with the way he played, given how amped up he was in the recruiting process. He didn't even make the all-tournament team. His teammate, Sterling Gibbs, went nuts and dropped 40 points on Illinois State in the finals. I know you guys remember the 2014 Paradise Jam, just like I do, but he was picked up by the Jazz in the second round in the 2016 draft, ended up playing with Brooklyn over the past two seasons ago and last season, not this past season. He hasn't appeared in the NBA this season, as he was traded to Denver in the offseason but waived as kind of a salary cap maneuver by the Nuggets. He has, over the winter, he played 8 games for a team in Russia. And like I said, big-time pedigree for him, a 5-star recruit out of Lincoln High. The Rail Splitters of Lincoln High in Brooklyn, which features, you know, former the Steph Marbury place where he grew up on Coney Island there, and of course Jesus Shuttlesworth, who could forget a star like Jesus Shuttlesworth, some famous alums there. Whitehead's a guy who gets buckets, not a very good 3-point shooter, but a little bit of potential there, but certainly a guy you could plug into an NBA lineup and feel okay about it at the end of your bench. He was a starter for some bad Brooklyn Nets teams for about 25 games or so a couple seasons back, but just never really found his way to a permanent NBA roster and getting one more shot here with the Detroit Pistons. And speaking of one more shot, Kalen Lucas, 29 years old, he's played in one career NBA game, and that was now 4 years ago with the Memphis Grizzlies. He did not score, but he had a foul in 6 minutes, missed a shot also. But he had a steal, so he did one good thing in an NBA game, which is more than the most of us can say, that's for sure. Like I said, 29 years old. I'm shocked he's still playing. He fell off my radar. And when I heard they signed Kalen Lucas, for a split second, probably more like 3 or 4 seconds, I had him mixed up with Keith Appling, the former Michigan State point guard there. And it crossed my mind when I heard about this, and I was like, is that Keith Appling? Like the guy who was in all that trouble? But a different guy. That was the Michigan State point guard. Appling, he kind of went crazy there in 2016 for 3 or 4 times, got arrested in Detroit area on gun charges, ended up going to jail for 1 year. But I did see that he's out. Keith Appling's out of jail. So maybe watch out, but also send good wishes and thoughts his way, as I think he's still playing pro basketball overseas. So good luck to Keith there. But back to Kalen Lucas, who is not Keith Appling, and I know that a lot of the Michigan State fans, the big Michigan State fans, are probably upset that I even had that misunderstanding for a quick couple minutes. But Kalen Lucas, as we remember clearly, was the Big Ten Player of the Year as a sophomore for Tom Izzo. He went to 2 Final Fours. 2 Big Ten titles in the regular season for him, did not get drafted. It kind of his numbers went up. I mean, he scored 14 a game or so, ended up getting more than that as a junior and 17 a game or so as a senior. But his career, in terms of accolades, it kind of fizzled out. I think his senior year wasn't one of Tom Izzo's very good teams. So better player in the beginning of his career than he was at the end of his career at Michigan State, despite I don't think he had any major injuries or anything like that. But this year at 29, he's getting 22 points per game in the G League for the Stockton team, the G League team for the Sacramento Kings. Spent some time in his career in Israel, Turkey, Greece, and China, playing professionally overseas. So we'll see. I mean, Kalen Lucas, certainly not an upside guy, certainly not a guy that you expect to make any kind of major impact with an NBA roster. But interesting nonetheless to have a familiar face from Oakland County and the Detroit area. I think he grew up in Sterling Heights. But like I said, played at Orchard Lake St. Mary's for the storied program there, which has produced all sorts of good college players, and Kalen Lucas was another one of them. So what does this mean for Keenan Evans and Zach Lofton, the former two-way guys for the Pistons? They are released from their two-way contracts and are free to seek employment elsewhere, like all of us are. But they could come back to Grand Rapids on regular deals, affiliate deals, and we'll see how that all shakes out. But hopefully things work out for them for the best. I know we spent a lot of time talking about Zach Lofton, a scorer, a guy that I really like, and Keenan Evans is a guy who at 21 years old was maybe rumored to be in the mix for the Pistons down the line in terms of their point guard situation. You want to take a chance on guys like that if you feel like they have real potential. But when we saw Jose Calderon struggle as badly as he did all year, getting backup point guard minutes and them not even bringing up Keenan Evans to play third string point guard at all this season, that was probably an indication that the writing was on the wall for the former Texas Tech star in his Pistons career. But we'll see if those guys stick around in Grand Rapids, and interested to talk to maybe Joe Truck or whoever else is out there in Grand Rapids to check out some of these new players, Whitehead and Lucas, when they do surface for the Pistons G League team here in the coming week. I would imagine that they will start playing for that group. But up next, we're going to talk to Philip Rossman Reich of Locked On Magic. And hey, did you get a smart speaker over the holidays? If so, easier way to go ahead and listen to the Locked On Pistons podcast. All you got to do is say, play podcast Locked On Pistons, and they'll go ahead and play the newest episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast, which I know brings you great joy to hear that that might be the case for you and your smart speaker and yourself. But up next, Philip Rossman Reich, we're going to talk to him. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined again by Philip Rossman Reich, the host of the Locked On Magic podcast, a team that's in a lot of ways very similar to the Pistons. So, Philip, let's talk. How's it going today?
It's going good. Who would have thought that a January game between the Magic and Pistons would be so full of intrigue and playoff implications?
Yeah, I guess that's how it goes in the Eastern Conference these days. And like I said, teams with a lot in common, very similar records, coming off of very similar stretches as well, playing some Western Conference teams in January, and the Pistons kind of entering a stretch here with some home games, finally some winnable games for a mediocre at best team. But a nice little turn of the narrative lately for Orlando, picking up a nice couple wins at home lately.
Yeah, I mean, and really surprising wins too, because obviously Boston and Houston, you know, as much as they've struggled this year, are still considered title contenders, and the Magic have picked off some pretty good teams this year. So, you know, they beat Houston and Boston obviously this weekend after really hitting the lowest point of their season. They just finished, like you said, a West Coast trip where they went 1-5. In three of those five losses, the Magic had leads of 15 points or more that they eventually lost, and then trailed by 10 points at the back end. So they had some pretty massive turnarounds on the road, and it really felt like the Magic were at their lowest point. The playoff race was slipping away from them. And at the midpoint of the season, it felt like, you know, maybe the season is turning for the worse. But you pick up two big wins in this Eastern Conference race, and all of a sudden you're right back into the thick of things. And you know, certainly they're taking advantage of that, and they're feeling the pressure of playing these important games right now.
Yeah, and the Pistons fans that are listening to this can relate to a couple of those decent-sized leads and then big losses due to some second quarters lately that have been the undoing for Dwayne Casey's team. But the similarities continue, Philip, that more notably Orlando mentioned on Monday night, as we tape this on Tuesday, in Adrian Wojnarowski's report about Dennis Smith Jr. of the Dallas Mavericks being escalated trade talks coming up. What's been the reaction around the fans and even the team today as you went to practice about the possibility and rumors about Dennis Smith Jr. being on the trade block and Orlando mentioned as a possible suitor?
Fans are really, really excited. And they, of course, tend to take, you know, no offense to fans, they tend to take things to the nth degree sometimes. But fans are really excited. I mean, it's still a point of debate here in Orlando about whether the Magic ultimately made the right decision picking between Jonathan Isaac and Dennis Smith Jr. That they had the sixth pick in the 2017 NBA draft. The conventional thought was Orlando needs a point guard. They need some scoring. They need a guy who can create some offense. And Dennis Smith Jr. seemed to fit that to a T. And it was a little surprising, honestly, that they took Jonathan Isaac with that pick. And so, you know, as Isaac's gone through his ups and downs as a young player, and especially since he's not particularly a strong scorer, As he's gone through his ups and downs, the debate really still continues about whether the Magic made the right call and should have just taken Smith anyway. So the prospect of adding a player like Smith and the potential that he has still as a second-year player has fans really excited and trying to piece together what a deal might look like. Now, obviously, the Magic aren't commenting a lot about it. You know, they're kind of going through their work, and trade rumors are trade rumors at this point. I mean, who really knows how far along those talks were, are, or have gotten? Who really knows who's putting the information out there, what's really true or not? But certainly, the Magic need a point guard. It's their biggest weakness. They've got DJ Augustin starting, and he's having a fantastic season. But behind them, they've really struggled to find a backup kind of leader with that bench crew. They tried Jaren Grant, who was really disappointing and just couldn't get the team going in the right direction. They tried Jonathan Simmons there for a while. He continued to struggle despite some early success. And now they've ultimately settled on Isaiah Briscoe, who last year was playing in Estonia, not exactly known as a basketball hotbed. And while he can mix things up, he tends to commit a lot of fouls as well. So certainly the Magic need a point guard. They see a young player like Dennis Smith Jr. That might be available on the market. And that's something the Magic certainly should and seem to be pursuing.
And like we talked about, the similarities, they continue in some regard in that a couple of teams that you could realistically see as getting one of those last couple playoff spots or finishing outside of the Eastern Conference playoffs as well. But the one biggest difference is that you look at the core players for the Magic, guys that are barely entering their prime or just about to enter their prime, maybe even a few years down the road, whereas the Pistons, you're talking about guys who are at the end of their prime or into their prime. So obviously the youth is a positive thing for the Orlando Magic right now. That being said, as the team approaches the trade deadline, what do you feel like should be the philosophy of this team that, like I said, the playoffs are a possibility this year? Certainly no one has any designs that this team is going to make a deep run in the Eastern Conference playoffs or anything like that. But, you know, you're still kind of in asset accumulation mode. How do you think that the philosophy of the franchise for Orlando and John Hammond should be right now going into February 7th?
Yeah, and it's a really difficult and complex question to answer because this team is still, by most accounts, rebuilding. They're still trying to collect assets and kind of get themselves out of the cap hole that they were in when the new management group with Jeff Weltman, the president of basketball operations, and John Hammond, the general manager, came in with. They've still got to find a way to turn the roster over because, you know, despite how well the team has played this year, this is really the same roster that they've had for the last at least 3 years, but really the last 6 years when they haven't made the playoffs. So there's definitely a need to improve the talent on the roster, however they can do it. Now, obviously, a lot easier said than done. But having said that, the fact that the Magic are playing meaningful games at this stage of the season, this is really the deepest into the season the Magic have been in the playoff race since they traded Dwight Howard in 2012. And so, you know, it's a franchise that is desperate for success in any form it can get. Making the playoffs is legitimately a goal that this franchise, this organization wants to get, not just as a way to sort of lend legitimacy to the players that they have and say, hey, you can win with these guys, but to give something to the fans who've suffered through some really hard years, some really difficult years, where typically by this time of the year, the games don't matter. I'm of the belief that playing meaningful games matters to a player's development, and playing under that pressure is important. And frankly, no one on this team has really played under that pressure. Nikola Vucevic and Evan Fournier made the playoffs their rookie years when they weren't really contributing meaningful minutes to those teams. So really every key player on this roster, save for probably Terrence Ross and maybe DJ Augustin, have never really played anything resembling playoff basketball. And so I think the Magic aren't going to do anything in the trade deadline to sacrifice their long-term future. They're not going to probably trade away a first-round pick or trade away a core player unless it makes the team better in the short term. Or they're not going to do that just for the sake of the short term. They're only going to do something that keeps them competitive in the short term, but also improves their long-term outlet too. And that's going to make it difficult to make deals at the deadline. They definitely need to find a backup point guard and get some help there. They need to find some more shooting. They have a lot of holes to fill if they want to stay in this playoff race. But they're going to have to find a way to kind of work within those parameters, I think.
Jeff Waltman and John Hammond, two names from the Pistons front office of the past. So another more ties to the Detroit Pistons franchise here. But I'll keep bringing it up. I'll keep going on the theme. More ties. And I think it was George Blaha, the Pistons TV announcer, that brought this up in one of the earlier games between the two teams this season, or maybe it was somebody else. A lot of content out there to consume. But Philip, the comparison of Aaron Gordon as kind of like the young Blake Griffin at this point, and obviously similar body types, just a load in the post there, and at developing other areas of their games. Obviously, Blake's had strong three-point shooting this year and really a strong leadership as he's taken control of the Pistons. The rest of the guys can't seem to hold up their end of the bargain. But how do you size up the development of Gordon as he kind of enters maybe a new phase of his career?
Yeah, Gordon's development's really, really interesting. I mean, I think the first place you got to start with is you got to remember he's still only 23 years old. Yes, he's on that first big year of a big contract. He signed that second contract, but this guy's still got a long way to go. And I think you know, there's been a lot of talk with the national media. I think The Ringer put out an article kind of saying a lot of people believe Aaron Gordon is kind of in a situation that holds him back. And you know, to some extent, maybe that's a little bit true. This is still a roster that doesn't quite fit and is still figuring out what it is and what they eventually want to be. But I would add this, sort of like how in the last maybe 2 years, Blake Griffin's really begun to expand his game as a passer and as a playmaker, as he's taken on more responsibility and kind of learned, you know, what some might call the secret of helping others before yourself, and that gets yourself going too. Aaron Gordon is still figuring all that out. Last year, he averaged a career-high 17 points per game, really took a leap in his scoring, had a few 40-point games, and got everyone really excited about his star potential. But behind all those numbers was that kind of good player, bad team or kind of thing where he was, you know, someone had to put up the numbers, someone had to get the shots, and it turned out to be Aaron Gordon. He really struggled with kind of what I like to describe as trying to be the star. He kind of played that Kobe mind, you know, that quote unquote Kobe mindset where he was forcing mid-range shots, trying to dribble into traffic, just trying to create something for the sake of creating something. And I think young players who eventually become stars go through some of these growing pains. This year, Gordon is a much different player. His scoring is down to about 15 points per game, which I think has disappointed some people. His offense, or at least offensive output, has been a little inconsistent on that end. But at the same time, his assists are up. He's making better decisions with the basketball, and he's been a much better defender. When he came into the league, he said, I want to be all defensive first team. I want to be defensive player of the year. That was really one of his primary goals as he came in as a rookie. Scoring really wasn't something that they expected him to be able to do very quickly. So now the scoring element is slowly coming. he's regained the offense and he's added a new playmaking dimension to his game. And he's really found a nice groove in the last few games or so. He scored 28 against Boston. I believe he had 21-22 against Houston. So he's coming off back-to-back really strong games for the team. Gordon has really begun to expand his game. And I think he's just kind of proving if you stay patient with a player and trust their work, they will figure it out. And Gordon has really started to put a lot of the pieces together. And I think he's still got another level to his game that he can go.
Philip Rossman-Reich of Locked On Magic. I'm going to put you on the spot here. And still looking at this crowded front court of young guys in Orlando, and like you said, the backup, the lack of a point guard of the future, and I'm sure DJ Augustine doesn't get you too confident against most point guards in the league right now. Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Isaac, Mo Bamba, and Vucevic, who's an expiring contract this year. If I had to put you on the spot, Philip, and ask, who of those four guys in the front court is most likely to be moved at the deadline? Would it be Vucevic because he's an expiring deal and you could get some assets for him? Or is there a name that you would put ahead of him in that line?
I mean, the most likely to be dealt of that group is probably Nikola Vucevic because he's an expiring contract. The Magic obviously drafted Mo Bamba, and I think the idea and the thought process was Mo Bamba will eventually be the starting center for the Orlando Magic. I mean, his length is a real thing. When he is engaged and active, he can be a game changer defensively, and that's already been the case in his rookie year. Physically, though, he's just not ready to kind of take the rigors of an NBA game. I mean, you won't see him in Tuesday's game. It looks like he's listed as questionable, but it looks like they're going to hold him out one more game as he recovers from a sore foot. But him going up against a guy like Andre Drummond, Bamba just physically doesn't stand a chance quite yet to match up with those guys. He's got to really work on his body this offseason and gain some strength to kind of muscle and take the pounding that NBA centers still have to take despite how mobile the league has become. But Vucevic on an expiring contract, potential all-star player, is going to have a lot of value. And I think the Magic are would be silly not to explore their options because it's going to be difficult to retain him in free agency. Even if the Magic probably do see Bamba as their eventual starting center, they don't want to commit to a guy 4 or 5 years at a big money amount, especially a guy who has shown a lot of inconsistency defensively and has really broken out defensively this year to be at least an average defender. At the same time, though, Vucevic is at the very heart of everything the Magic do offensively. This is not a great offensive team. But Vucevic's ability to pass from the high post, make jumpers, work the post, are vital to this team having any kind of success. And like I said, the Magic are not going to sacrifice their short-term success right now. They need to make the playoffs. They need to play competitive games just for the development of the franchise and the players on the franchise as much as anything else. So it's hard to say the Magic would be willing to trade any four of those guys at this point, but Vucevic is probably the most likely. If the season heads south again, or if the team hits a rough patch again and the playoffs start to feel out of reach before February 7th, I'd expect to see Vucevic on the move.
Philip Rossman-Reich of Locked On Magic. Well, one last question for you. Obviously, a lot of Pistons fans keep an eye on the standings at the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff hunt. But obviously, you follow us, the team, so much deeper. Looking at 19-24, neck and neck with the Pistons for the last month or so, probably longer than that. Is there some numbers or trends or anything about the Magic as far as guys playing worse, guys playing better, strength of schedule that being tough, strength of schedule being easy, anything like that that can allow us to have a deeper look on this team's long-term prognosis for this season, maybe making fans a little bit more optimistic that the playoffs could be in the future for this team, or maybe pessimistic that it won't be?
I think there are two trends to really look at with this Magic team that are encouraging. I've actually got the numbers up here. Like the Detroit Pistons, they're giving up 108.4 points per 100 possessions. So they're tied for the 13th in the league in defensive rating with the Pistons. Steve Clifford has always been known as a defensive coach and has said if the Magic are going to make the playoffs, they're going to have to be a top 10 defense and probably a top half offense. They're one of the worst offenses in the league. They're probably not going to improve too much off of that. But their defense has really climbed over the last month, month and a half. They were sitting probably in 18th in the league in defensive rating throughout much of November, and they've climbed to 13th. And even when they were struggling on the road, very quietly, Orlando was still putting in good defensive efforts. Their issues were were mostly on the offensive end. And yeah, they'd have some defensive lapses and they played some poor defensive games on the road too. But a lot of this team's issues are on the offensive end. This is a team that can and does play surprisingly good defense for the most part. The other big note that Magic fans certainly are taking to heart is their strength of schedule. The Magic have gone through a very difficult schedule to start this year. They played at one point, I think it was 20 of 26 days on the road, not games, but they had a West Coast road trip that started over Thanksgiving, came home for a few days, went back out on the road, had two quote unquote home games in Mexico City, and then came home for a little bit and then went back out west. And so they're done playing any West Coast teams. They don't go west. They don't go into the Mountain or Pacific time zone the rest of the season. So a good chunk of the schedule is completed that a lot of teams will have to go through. And so the Magic actually, I believe, have one of the easier schedules remaining in the NBA the rest of the way. Now, obviously, that'll change. And Orlando certainly is not going to count any victory for granted because that's not the kind of team they are. But Orlando certainly has an advantageous road ahead, although they do finish with six of their final eight on the road.
And as we've talked about on Locked On Pistons, a couple of the teams that have some of the toughest schedules remaining are Charlotte, Brooklyn, and Miami, the three of the teams that both Orlando and Detroit are chasing here down the stretch run. But if you want to follow the Pistons' run for the playoffs here in this last half of the season and a lot of basketball to be played, obviously you got to be listening to Locked On Magic as well. To keep tabs on the show, Philip Rossman Reich, the host. Tell us about the show a little bit for fans who might be interested in reaching out, and then also where to find you on Twitter and all that good stuff as well.
Yeah, obviously we're covering the Orlando Magic every single day and discussing what's going on with the team. I did an episode yesterday talking more in detail about what a Dennis Smith Jr. deal might look like for the Magic, and kind of drawing out from there what the cost of doing business is going to be for the Magic and what they'll have to be willing to take on to accomplish what I think is honestly a really complicated goal at the trade deadline that's going to make really the next month for the Magic interesting. And obviously we'll follow along with all the trends and stories that go on with the team from there. You can always follow me on Twitter at @PhilipR_OMD. That's Philip with one L, or at @OMagicDaily.
Big thanks to Philip Rossman Reich of Locked On Magic for joining us. Pistons Magic tonight. I'll be in the house at Little Caesars Arena for a matchup of two teams fighting to get back in the Eastern Conference playoff hunt. We will have the recap and some other stuff for you tomorrow for the Locked On Pistons show. But this is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening and have a good one, everyone.